text I'm bringing this morning will be out of John chapter 12, just two verses. I entitled it Dying to Live. Before we go to the text, I'd like to open in prayer. Father, I thank you for those who have come out to hear your word this morning. I pray a special blessing on them, Lord, and that I will decrease and you will increase, Holy Spirit, and bring this message to our hearts. Help us see if there's any unsurrendered things in our lives that we need to lay at your feet. I thank you for protecting us from the violence of the storms last night. I just pray a blessing on those who are here and those who could not be here for whatever reason. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, John 12, verses 24 through 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Jesus spoke these words a few days before he went to the cross, and I realize in the text that he's speaking of his own death. He had to die for us. Wayne read that text this morning. Even though we were his enemies, Paul wrote that the first Adam brought sin and death into the world, the second Adam brought life. So Jesus had to lay his life down in order that you and I might be redeemed. That's something as Christians I think we should never forget. And that there was no merits about us, as I've said many times, that God looked at us and said, they're worth saving. As Wayne read this morning, we were his enemies. You and I stood for everything God stood against. Maybe some of you not as bad as some of us were before we were Christians, but we all needed to be saved. Nobody's excluded from that. When Jesus invites people to follow him, to me, he makes no bones about it. He invites you to die. He said, whoever will not carry their cross is not worthy of him. The cross was an implement of death in Jesus' day. And I'm sure that when he made that statement, many of the Jews were offended by it. The cross was a scandalous thing. Nobody wanted to die on the cross. And Jesus, in his day, speaking to the people of his day, his own disciples, he invited them to carry their cross. In fact, he said, if you do not carry that cross, you can't follow me. And I've always appreciated that about the Lord, that he's very upfront with us. Many people in Jesus' day decided that they wanted to follow him, and the scriptures record that they did for a while, until Jesus would turn around and say something they call the hard sayings of Jesus. When Jesus would speak these things, the scriptures say that many people would turn away from him. They'd stop following him. If you remember one instance in the Gospel of John, all but the 12 left. He had a couple thousand people followed him all the way around the shore of the lake because he had fed them. And he said to them, if you will remain in my word and let my word remain in you, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that offended them. And the Lord went ahead and preached to them. And when he finished, everybody but the 12 left. And Jesus said to the 12, are you going to go away too? And Peter said, where are we going to go? We're convinced that you are the Messiah and that you have the words of eternal life. So even to this day, I think a lot of people will make a decision to follow Christ. It might be compulsive. I talked to a young man once that was at a revival, and some of his friends went forward, so he went forward. And he admitted that to me later. He said, well, my friends were going forward, so I went forward, and I prayed the sinner's prayer, you know, and thought that I had done the right thing and that I was saved. And then one night, this guy worked nights. At about midnight, there was a knock on my door, and that young man was standing there in tears. And he said, I need to be saved. He said, I was on my way to work, and he said, I don't know if it was God or who it was, but he said, all of a sudden, I knew in my own heart I wasn't saved. And he said, would you baptize me? And I called a friend of mine and took him down to London Bridge. We had a midnight baptism ceremony. We prayed together. I baptized him into Christ, and he was genuinely converted. That just thrills my heart when I see that stuff happen. But even to this day, there's people that come to Christ for all the wrong reasons. And especially if you listen to these TV gurus, and I know I harp on that a lot, but it needs to be harped on. People need to be warned that is not the gospel these people are preaching. It's a pseudo gospel. It's a phony gospel. They're in it for the money. The Bible says their God is their stomachs, their desires. That's what motivates them and drives them. And it sickens me that they use the name of the Lord to spread their propaganda and their lies. Now, there are people still to this day that come to Christ for the right reasons. But I think that sometimes we don't fully grasp that when we come to Christ, he invites us to die. And I know that's hard for us because we like to be in control. You know, I went to a debriefing once after a very bad call. And the psychologist I talked to, he said, I can tell you like to be in control. I said, well, yeah. And he said, I know that's part of your job. You get on a bad, chaotic scene and you have to be in control. But he said, you better figure something out. You can't always be in control. Two children and a woman died in a bad wreck, and it really affected me. And he said, you don't get to be in control. You don't have the power of life and death. You did your job, they died. And he said, God alone has the power of life and death. Thank God they sent me to a Christian counselor. And I never forgot that. He said, you don't get to be in control. And I will relay that to anybody that I talk to. You don't get to be in control in this life. Now, in some aspects you do. You're here. You made a decision this morning that you were going to be here, and you're here. But in a lot of areas of our life, we don't get to be in control. And I believe that's really why the Lord invites us to die to self. Because I think God can't use us. When we cling to this life and say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do and I'm going to follow God, I really think the Lord says you can't do that. Not and do what he wants to do. Jesus was talking about bearing fruit for God. And you and I, at our best, Isaiah said, our righteousness is like filthy rags to God. Now, I know that's not flattering, and some people that actually offends, because I've talked to a lot of people who say, well, I'm basically a good person, and when I stand before God, I think my good will outweigh my bad, and he'll let me into his heaven. And I explain to people that, no, the Bible said at our very best, Our righteousness is like unclean rags to God. You have to come through Jesus Christ. And very sadly, sometimes we think, well, when we come to Christ and we're converted to Christianity, that's where it ends. But we've been talking the last couple weeks about the ongoing sanctification that happens in the life of a believer. When we first decide to follow Christ, that's the first step, but it doesn't end there. Because I've said before, God is not going to leave you where you're at. You might think you're a pretty good person, and you can compare yourself to other people and think you're a pretty good person, but when you compare yourself to Jesus Christ, no, none of us meet the standards. So Jesus is saying to us, you have to let go. In order to serve me, you have to let go. I've talked to people, young people especially, that they get out of school and they go into college and they have it set in their minds, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And I've talked to young people that the Lord's got a hold of them while they're in college and says, this isn't what I want for you to do. I heard a testimony of a young man that was engaged to be married, and he said the Lord flat out told him one day, this is not the woman I've chosen for you. I don't want you marrying her. And it ended up breaking the relationship. And he said he was so angry at God, he said, I hate you. You know, I love this woman, and I wanted to spend my life with her. And he said, the Lord broke in and said, well, I still love you, and that's not the woman I had for you. Now, several years later, he testified that he met a woman and married, and they have a family now. And she works with him in the ministry that God called him to. So now, looking back, he can see where God had a right to ask him to wait. He had a right to tell him, this isn't the person that I want you to be with. And he said the woman that was his fiance told him later she married his best friend, and they all had dinner one night. She said, there's no way I'd have followed you into this ministry that you're in. You know, I'm glad we broke it off. So see, God always has the right intentions, church. But he says that you and I have to be willing to comply with him when he says, lay it down, lay it down. When he says you relinquish this part of your life, you relinquish it. And don't look back. We don't always understand when God asks us to do something like that, but it's always for our benefit. And if you want to bear fruit for God, which we're all commanded to do, not just ministers, all of us, our life goal should be to bear fruit for the Lord, to produce fruit in keeping with salvation. Now, there's an example in the scriptures, and you're all familiar with the rich young ruler. Young man came to Jesus and said, good master, what shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus stopped him and said, why do you call me good? No one's good but God. And the Lord said, well, you know the commandments, keep them. And he said, which one? And the Lord recited a few of the commandments, and he said, I've kept all these from my youth. What do I lack? That man knew there was something in his life that was lacking, something he needed to do, to give up, something that he wanted to do a little extra because he wanted to follow God. He wanted to follow Jesus Christ. You remember what the Lord said? There's one thing you do lack. You need to sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And it said the man walked away sorrowful. Jesus didn't have a problem with this young man having money. The problem was money had the young man. And Jesus knows people's hearts. You know, Jesus didn't just single him out, you know, and he didn't have that reverse snobbery that a lot of us have for the rich. And Jesus knew what was holding him back. And he invited him. He said, get rid of your stuff and then come and follow me. What an invitation. Jesus personally invited that young man to come and follow him. And it said he walked away sorrowful. There was another man came to Jesus and he said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus looked at him and said, you know, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Jesus said, I'm homeless. Are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to be homeless if that's what it takes to follow me? Well, evidently he wasn't, because there's no record that the guy said, yeah, I'm going to follow you. Jesus asked the people a question one day when he was teaching them, and this is something I think we should all consider. It applies to all of us. He said, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? He said to the people, what does it profit a man or a woman if they gain the whole world but they lose their soul? That's something that we need to ask ourselves, I think frequently. Is there anything in my life that I'm hanging on to that I think's worth exchanging for my soul? You know, if I'm the one that got up here and said, you need to lay it down, then you could say, well, that's Rick's opinion, but Jesus said it, not Rick. I'm just relaying to you. And I've been a believer for 40 years. I've been in ministry 20-some years. I've stopped and counted up. And you know, there's hardly a year in my life passes that I don't find something in my life that the Lord's saying, you need to lay this down. Mainly it's my attitude. My temper. I don't know about you, but I've been taken to the spiritual woodshed several times by the Lord when I pass quick judgments, or I mouth off something, usually between me and him, and I've had the Lord say to me more than one time, you need to lay that attitude down. That's not me. That's not the man I want you to be. Sanctification, church, the process of holiness. When I say sanctification, that's what I'm talking about. When the Lord went to the cross, he said, I am sanctifying myself so they too may be truly sanctified. And I've had some say, well, he was praying for the apostles. No, because a little later in that prayer, he said, I'm not just praying for the apostles. I'm praying for everyone that will believe on me through their word. So you read John 17, you can take that prayer for yourself, every bit of it. And Jesus said, I sanctify myself so they may be truly sanctified. How did he sanctify himself? He laid his life down. You remember in John 10 when he was talking about the good shepherd, Jesus said, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. You think about that. We talk about the Romans and the Jews murdered Jesus, and I hear hateful sermons against the Jews, and there's no place in the church for anti-Semitism. We owe the Jewish people a lot. That's where the covenants came from. That's where the Word of God came from. That's where Christianity was birthed among the nation of Israel. But we talk about, you know, the Romans and the Jews, and they murdered Jesus. Jesus said himself, nobody is taking my life. I'm laying it down. The Father said to the Son, you're going to have to lay your life down for these people. And the Son said, I will. You remember what happened when Peter cut that guy's ear off in the garden? Jesus said, don't you know I could call to my Father and he would send 12 legions of angels? Jesus could have backed out. That's not speculation. He said that himself. 12 legions, that's 72,000. There's 6,000 in a legion, in a Roman legion. That's a lot of angels. Jesus said, Peter, I could call to the Father, and there'd be 72,000 angels standing here around us, and they would stop this. But he said, then the scriptures wouldn't be fulfilled. So see, Jesus was speaking the truth when he said, no one's taking my life. I'm laying it down. He said, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. I told you, I think last week, the scriptures say Jesus despised the cross, the shame of the cross, but he looked ahead. And Christian, you and I, when God asks us to lay things down in our lives, that's the attitude you and I need to have. Okay, God, I'm laying this down, even if it's precious to me. Even if it's something I don't want to let go of, I'm going to let go of this, and I'm looking ahead to the day that I'll stand before you and you'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. That's what I want to hear. I don't know how much time I have left. I want to finish my course, as Paul said. I want to finish well, and that's what I want to hear when I stand before my Lord. Well done. You've done what I've asked you to do. You fought the good fight. You finished the race. I brought a text out of Hebrews a week or so back, and it said we need to lay aside the sin and everything that easily besets us. Whenever God asks you to lay something down and you refuse to do it, it becomes a weight, Christian. It's like if you're running a marathon wearing a backpack, and every so often somebody runs up and drops a rock in that knapsack. When we refuse to lay things down, they become weights and burdens. They weigh us down, they hinder us, they hold us back. So when God asks us to lay things down, it's for our benefit. He said, I want you to be fruitful. You remember the story of the vine and the branches. Jesus said, when you start bearing fruit, the Heavenly Father prunes you. How many of you know pruning is painful? Pruning is he cuts away the dead. He cuts away the stuff that's going to hinder you from bearing fruit. But on your part of it, you have to let it go. And I know it's hard. I've been following the Lord for 40 years. And as I said, there's still times that God comes into my life and says, let this go, lay this down, and it's hard. I want to hang on to it. You know, this is part of who I am. This is part of my identity. God doesn't care about Rick's identity. He wants me to have the identity of Christ in me. He's trying to mold every one of us into the image of his son. One of my professors in Bible college said in the Greek, the Bible says he's changing us from image to image to image. Don't ever think in this life that you've arrived, because you will set yourself up for a fall, and a hard fall. Have the attitude that Paul had. He said, I don't consider that I've arrived at all this, that I have all this yet, but one thing I do, I forget what's behind, and I strain forward to what's ahead. Jesus said he laid his life down of his own choice, his own free will. He has every right to ask us to do the same thing. He has every right to expect it of us. I get so irritated. I say sometimes I see things and it seems like the Ten Commandments have become the Ten Suggestions in our society today. Well, they're just suggestions. That's how God would like you to live, if you can do it. And no, they're commandments. I believe in the moral law of God. Now, are we under the law? No. I'll argue that till I'm blue in the face. We are no longer under the law, but the morals of God do not change. When God says something is sin, it's sin. You don't have to analyze it, philosophize it, think about it for a week. And something I see in many churches today that really grieves me is they try to dummy it down. Well, culture's accepting this, so the church needs to be loving and accepting. That's not loving and accepting, that's being cowardly, flat out. The truth doesn't change, church. God does not change. He does not change his mind. He said that. He said, I'm not a man that I should lie, and I'm not a son of man that I should change my mind. God doesn't change his mind. I said last week in the text that we read, you know, we're not to think like the world. And you just watch a little news. What do you hear all the time? My right. It's my right. It's my right. I have rights. And praise God, we live in a country that we do have certain rights. But God has every right to ask you to lay things at his feet and not pick them back up again. He has every right to expect that because he did it for you. He gave the most precious thing he had in order to redeem us from the grasp of sin. And who are we to stand before God and say, well, no, that was just too much. If that's your attitude, I'm afraid they're going to ship your saddle the other way. I didn't say it, Jesus did. He said, if you love your life, you're going to end up losing it. How foolish it is that we want to cling and hang on to things that are worthless in God's sight. And he says, if you insist on hanging on to this, you're going to lose it in the end. I don't know about you, but I'd rather willingly give it up than lose it. This morning, I was awakened by the storms and that stupid alarm on my phone. I didn't put it on there, but it still goes off. Woke me out of a sound sleep, and I couldn't get back to sleep. So I got up and started watching the weather, all the warnings and all this. I got bored with that after a while, so I flipped around and I found a guy preaching. I thought, oh, okay, I like listening to other preachers, believe it or not. During the week, I try to listen to different radio stations and listen to different messages. I got to be fed too, just like you. And it didn't take this guy long. I knew something was wrong because he had this freaky hairdo. I mean, it stuck straight up in the air, and he had these crazy eyes, just, God! And I said, something's off with this guy, but I'm going to listen to him, because I'm kind of off too, you know. And it didn't take him long. He said, God has told me if you'll send me a seed gift of $1,000, he will bless you. Click, I turned the channel. I said, well, I've heard all I need to hear. Found another preacher in Branson. You'd know him if I named him, because some of you may watch him. I've had people say, oh, I just love his preaching. Same deal. Same deal. Got on there and said, if God said if you'll send this ministry $1,000, he's going to bless you. And I talk to the TV. And I think it worries my wife sometimes, but I talked to the TV. And I looked at the TV and I said, God's blessings are not for sale. Don't get taken in by something like that. Now, I know I'm off the subject a little bit. It used to anger me. Now it grieves me. And I think of all the gullible people. This preacher said, even if all you got's $2, make a commitment that you're going to send $1,000. So he didn't care if you went $998 in the hole, long as he got his $1,000. I've had people argue with me, well, that's scriptural. You know, the seed gift, the blessing is scriptural. All you got to do in the book of Acts is go to when Simon the sorcerer from Samaria, try to say that three times fast, he asked Peter, he offered him money because he saw Peter, and I think it was Peter and John, laying hands on people and they were filled with the Spirit. You remember what he did? He said, give me this power. He offered to pay them for it, and Peter said, your money perish with you. You have no lot or interest in this ministry. He said, you need to pray and ask the Lord if perhaps he'll forgive you. So that's my scriptural stand. It is not scriptural for a man of God or a woman of God who professes to be preaching the gospel to get up and beg money like that. There's nothing scriptural about it, especially if they say the Lord saith. I'll tell you what, thus saith the Lord through me. If you want to send me $100, send me $100, and this is what the Lord saith, you'll be $100 poorer and I'll be $100 richer. That makes just as much sense to me as what they're saying. At least I'm being honest. You don't buy God's blessings. I hate the gospel that I hear preached by a lot of people today. It's all about take, take, take. You come to Christ and he's going to give, he's going to give, he's going to give. That's not the gospel that I've read. Does he bless us? Yes. He blesses us. Paul said, having food and clothing, we should be content. So when somebody stands up there and says, well, if you come to God, he's going to give you this, 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 and this, that doesn't affect me at all. The God I serve says, if you come to me, I want you to be willing to lay everything down in your life that's ungodly, that doesn't belong to me, that's not of me, and I want you to follow me and bear fruit for me. That's the God I serve. He has every right to do this, church. He gave the most precious gift that he had, the thing that was dearest to him, in order to redeem us from the curse of the law and the curse of sin, in order to bring us into his kingdom. He has every right, as our God and our Creator, to pinpoint things in our lives and say, you need to lay this down. Now, I hope you don't think this message is a bummer, because it wasn't intended to drag you down. I just want to be honest with you what the Word says. Jesus himself said, think about it. If you want to follow me, you need to think about it. Are you willing to do what I ask? And if you are, he says, then you come follow me. Would you stand with me this morning? You know, making a decision to follow Christ is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And it's not to be entered into lightly. And I'm not trying to talk anybody out of it. I'm just saying, consider what you're doing. When you make a commitment to follow Christ, you are making a commitment to follow him. And the text I read to you this morning, he said, if a grain of wheat doesn't fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. He had to die for us. Praise God, death didn't hold him. But he had to die for us. He has a right to ask us to die for him. So if you want to follow Jesus, that's what he wants. But think about it. Jesus himself said, sit down and consider whether you're going to be able to do this or not.